up, man? It's Friday night. Soft Jazz is coming to the program tonight. Jeff Bennett here for The Edge on this 20th day of November. Been an interesting day. I woke up hard this morning. Had one rotten day, and all I wanted to do is just keep sleeping all day, and I kept getting up and going back to sleep. All this garbage is having a profound effect on me, as that I'm sure it is many, many people. H.L. Mencken once said, "Every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin slitting throats." It is just over 2 weeks since the most crooked, rigged, fraudulent election in U.S. history. The engineered elevation of a handsy, snippy, senile, empty portal Trojan horse by billionaire oligarchs, their Silicon Valley techno-geek social media censorship police, the corporate media propaganda mouthpieces, looks like it might succeed. Republican cucks like Romney and even the pliable Fox News talking heads have acquiesced to this third attempt during the ongoing coup, like obedient lapdogs positioning themselves to profit from doing the bidding of their global oligarch masters. Make no mistake, my friends. There was a master plan implemented by dark forces to steal this election, overriding the will of the American people. And the anger of 70 million Americans is perfectly captured in that quote from Mencken. It's time to start slitting throats. Oh, I'm so sorry if that offends you. It's time to end the pussification in this country. Enough is enough. And yet, some things to consider. There's an interesting law in this country. The law states that there is no presidential transition until Congress certifies the election. And, of course, we all know the votes are still being counted. Georgia was handed to Biden today. Biden declared that he is the president-elect, a shadow government office invented by Obama and invested with a pseudo-governmental seal. Biden's been holding fake briefings and taking phone calls with foreign leaders. The United States only has one president at a time. Maintaining a fake shadow presidency undermines the sitting administration to the American people and to foreign governments. It's simple, my friends. It's illegal. And it's inappropriate. But the Democrats are doing it anyway. You know, there is so much false news out there that it's appalling to me. On Wednesday, I had a very in-depth program that was based on the writings of Mike Adams, and we played a 20-some-odd minute video along with it. And that was originally submitted to me by a friend, someone who used to be a secretary from the government. I begin to think she's slipping a bit. Because you read the words of someone you know of, or maybe don't know of, that says something, and you automatically fall for it, is a problem. She sent me something today, or last night, that allegedly claimed that Joe Biden was going to concede the election this morning. We know it didn't happen. First of all, they're not going to allow it to happen, because their goal is to put camel toe in office. Unbelievable. I'm going to start being a wee bit more careful about some of the things we publish here. You know, most countries today, more than 50%, according to the IMF, follow the basic principles of what we call stable money. And usually they link their currencies to an external standard of value, most commonly the dollar or the euro. And the most rigorous expression of this principle is the currency board. And in doing so, they give us hopes of domestic macroeconomic management via currency jiggering by central banks. Oh, they can't print money willy-nilly to fund domestic spending ambitions. But many of those governments have already gone down that road. They don't like it. It was a failure. They're all wanting stable money because their monetary policy has become essentially quite passive. I'm sharing some things with you from the front page of Federal Observer tonight, just some little bits and pieces that I published yesterday. It's under the heading, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, November 19th, 2020. My subheading is, but all this I see here is bad and ugly. We all know that the euro serves as an external standard of value for dozens of countries today. Gold served that role in the past, for the whole damn world. World gold system, which defined the 19th century before 1914, recreated in the 1920s, recreated again at the Bretton Woods Convention in 1944, which, as I mentioned the other night, led to the two most prosperous decades for the global economy, the 1950s and 1960s. But you'll have to read on your own. The beginning of the end is near. And although many of my so-called conservative colleagues who take pen in hand, and of course the reportedly ultra-corrupt GOP never-Trumpers, are now attempting to offer their expert opinions on our current near-term political future, not only by joining in the media-controlled outcome with the President-elect Biden crowd, but also using the nihilistic phrase that now in Donald Trump's final days in office, stop. No more of this BS. I'm fed up with all of it. When we finally get onto the other side of this national crisis, we're going to come to realize that the massive voter fraud that gave Sleepy Joe his flash-in-the-pan victory was a necessary factor in order to bring forth and identify all the deep state players by name, by organization, and their individual contribution to this massive international criminal conspiracy. Now, I can sit here and open this program and hand you these little teasers. This is a very interesting article written by Freddie Lowe, published over at Canada Free Press. But I'm going to tell you something. And once again, it's titled, The Beginning of the End is Near. I think it's over. I hate to say it. And I don't want you to think that I'm giving up, but it's a reality factor, my friends. I think it's done. I see no out in this mess. There's been lots of rhetoric, lots of BS, lots of running of the mouth by Giuliani. My God, the guy bores the daylights out of me. He just goes on and on and on. There's some women in stronger positions that are better speakers than Giuliani is. The guy went up before the microphone with so much makeup on his face, he sat there, he was sweating like a pig and continued to wipe it all off his face all the time. I spend less and less time at Facebook because I'm fed up with it. Most of the good people are bailing out, going to WeWe or MeWe or whatever the heck it's called. Yeah, I opened an account there a couple months ago. Can't remember the password, the username I use, nothing. I no longer care. Have enough to worry about. all these things are on my shoulders. They're in my brain, the sadness in my heart. I get angry at many listeners because they don't get it. My approach tonight obviously is considerably different because it's what I'm feeling. I published one piece this morning at Federal Observer. It came to me through an email that I received from an organization whose mailing list I'm on, Dixie Heritage. They have been opening over the last several weeks with a whole section on the status of the voting scenario at each of these questionable states. They then will once in a while publish one of Chuck Baldwin's pieces, some of Al Benson's pieces. I've not published Al's stuff for a while. Nothing against Al. I've not published much of anything from Justin Smith lately. Nothing against Justin. I'm beat out with all of it. The title of what I'm going to share with you right now is called "The Massive Election Fraud of 2020 Cannot Stand." Boy, if the election was the only fraud that had been crammed down our throat this year, that would have been one thing. But I wrote a rather harsh introduction to the article. And in it I stated, this is it. The following is the final piece that I will publish on this horrific bullshit. I'm done. I hold my belief as to the outcome of it all, and while I'm not happy about the final direction of this once great republic, I'm closing the book on all of it. No, now, don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean I'm closing the book on programming. I'm not closing the book on the various websites, certainly not drkelly.info, certainly not Metropolis Cafe. I have been getting more and more comments and feedback on Metropolis lately than anything. And I'm ecstatic. I got a note from a teacher today that said, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's profound. And also shared something with me that will be beneficial to students, children, grandchildren, homeschool kids, even those that are in the regular school. Yeah. That's like the second or third very positive piece I've received on that website in the last week. That's very uplifting to me. Extremely. What I'm going to share with you was written by an author named Gene Kaiser Jr. Gene was the founder of Bonnie Blue Publishing in the 1980s, author of a book entitled Slavery Was Not the Cause of the War Between the States, The Irrefutable Argument. And if some of you are out there sitting here shaking your heads, you better find out what you're talking about, because I know what I'm talking about, and so does he. Gene starts by saying no Republican will ever win another election in this country if things stay as they are now. Democrats have discovered the perfect way to win every election from now on. They don't need to pack the Supreme Court. They don't need to make Puerto Rico or D.C. states. They don't need to open the southern border. Oh, which reminds me, I saw a piece today that there was a 21% increase in border crossers during the month of October, just before the election. Do you think they voted? Gene goes on to say they don't even need Antifa or Black Lives Matter in the streets. All they have to do is what they're doing right this minute. Continue with massive mail-in voting. Then make it permanent. Send ballots to everybody, even if they didn't request one, so whoever gets it can vote, regardless of whether they're the registered voter. never allow voter rolls to be cleaned up so dead people and people who have moved can keep voting. Get rid of the signature match and the postmark requirement so you can submit as many ballots as you want. Enable counting for days after the election so you can add votes where necessary and do not, under any circumstances, do not let the other party observe anything, even though they have a legal right to do so. You know, there's strong, direct evidence documented by hundreds of affidavits, my friends, and overwhelming circumstantial evidence that voter fraud is occurring. If Democrats were not cheating in places like Philadelphia and Detroit, they'd want the other party to observe. But instead, they cover up the windows and counting places. They ignore the law and the court orders that require them to allow the Republicans to observe the counting. It only takes a few corrupt places to win an election through vote fraud. Philly, Detroit, Atlanta, Milwaukee. There's four right there. I mean, come on, Philadelphia alone is renowned for its election fraud. But then so is Chicago. My wife and I lived there years ago. We'd stand by the cemeteries to watch the voter registration taking place. I'm being facetious, of course, but that's been a long-time joke in Chicago. But it's not a joke. And as far as Philadelphia is concerned, well, just remember that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Hey, baby, we the brothers don't be loving each other. There is no doubt, Gene continues, that massive election fraud has taken place and it's been coordinated. And these are the same ruthless, corrupt people who gave us two coups d'etat that resulted in the Russian hoax that Trump had to deal with for 3 years. And a political impeachment based on a perfect phone call about Biden's influence peddling, which we now know was true thanks to Hunter Biden's laptop. But who's Hunter Biden? Who is that guy? He's the guy they don't talk about anymore. It's all been covered up. Think about how compromised that Joe Biden is in dealing with China, thanks to his and Hunter's influence peddling. Oh, in Iran, with the nuclear deal, in which Joe and Obama guarantee the world's largest exporter of terrorism a nuclear bomb and billions of dollars in cash, to spread their terrorism all over the world. But nobody raises a stinking finger about Obama and the amount of cash he sent there on an airplane to hand those people. Attorney General Barr should appoint a special counsel right now to look into Biden's well-documented influence peddling. Investigations are underway, but this requires a special counsel like Mueller with an unlimited budget. Come on, what a joke. Look at the three names in that paragraph alone. Mueller, Biden, and even Attorney General Barr. Barr's a scam artist the same way that the two previous attorney generals were, Jeff Sessions and the other guy that was there for 100 days. They're not going to do a damn thing to uncover the truth about any of this stuff, because they're going to be blowing the whistle on 7/8 of the people that serve in government. Not only in elected positions, but the scumbags that work in governmental offices. This is insane. Come on, I've shared with you the truth about William Barr, the guy that stuck up for and defended Lon Horiuchi. You remember what Horiuchi did, right? Yeah. But there's going to be no special counsel appointed, because Republicans never play to win the way the Democrats do. That's why Durham didn't announce anything before the election about his investigation of the first coup d'etat, and now he will be shut down. Obama and Biden, with their blessings, gave ISIS a caliphate. Trump destroyed all of that, but it'll now be revived. Think about Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. Dianne Feinstein holding Blasey Ford's false accusations until just before the vote, which, of course, is a popular Democrat technique. These sons of bitches are the sleaziest, but they play to win and usually do. I share with you the other night, Feinstein husband, Richard C. Bloom, part owner of the voting machine company Dominion Voting Systems, used widely across the country and in all the battleground states. And it was developed with money from the Clinton Global Initiative. James Howard Kunstler observes, then there's the janky numbers in all those other states where the Dominion vote tabulation software was used. 130,000 here, 27,000 here, et cetera, on ad nauseum. Kunstler continues, by the way, the company that puts out this Dominion product is partly owned by Democratic Feinstein's husband, as we just mentioned. One of the top executives is Nancy Pelosi's former chief of staff, and the software's development was funded by the Clinton Global Initiative in 2014. I guess they know a good thing when it jumps up and bites them on the lips. Of course, we now know software glitches and systems using Dominion voting system software shifted thousands of votes from Trump to Biden in Georgia and Pennsylvania. But that's now been overlooked. Georgia's now been called for Biden. In Georgia, software updates were done the night before the election, which is unheard of. The errors were supposedly corrected, but how many hundreds of other places around the country did not catch them and correct them? There should be a full-scale investigation of voting machine fraud and specifically Dominion voting systems, which starts out suspect due to its ties to Feinstein and Pelosi and the Clinton Global Initiative. Kunstler also noted that the method used by the CIA to interfere in elections of other countries, and he writes, I suppose you've also seen rumors about the intelligence community's election meddling software programs, HAMR, or Hammer, and Scorecard, allegedly being employed in last week's election, but that is only a rumor so far. Sidney Powell, lawyer to General Michael Flynn, dropped it on the airwaves, and recall that Flynn was the director of the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, so there's a chance that he knows about these programs in excruciating detail. And there's also reason to believe that General Flynn retains connections to many loyal Intel techies who worked under him and are capable of sussing out the situation. Oh, and by the way, do you suppose that any of this election meddling software was used to ensure Joe Biden's mysterious out-of-nowhere victory in the Super Tuesday primary? Well, Trump was on a fast track to re-election with a booming economy and foreign policy wins all over the world. And then COVID hit and gave Democrats their chance with mail-in ballot fraud, which enabled them to manufacture thousands of ballots wherever and wherever they needed. And they knew they had one chance to negate everything Trump had done. And they were not going to lose it. They were going for it, like they did with Obama's corruption of the FBI and the CIA, the spying on Trump's campaign, the Russia hoax, the three-year Mueller investigation, and all the crap that Nancy Pelosi pulled against Trump in every possible way. So if this election stands, there's no limit on Democratic deep state corruption and power, my friends. Mark my words. And the worst thing is the end of all the investigations, such as John Durham's. And now the Democrats and the corrupt FBI will get clean away with coup d'etat to spy on and remove a duly elected American president. Oh, there's a good chance Eric Holder might even be back in charge of the Justice Department. He'll take care of Jim Comey and his other Democratic allies. Mark my words. Of course, Donald Trump Jr. has been encouraging his daddy to declassify everything related to the ongoing investigations to get it all out there, and that definitely should be done. Another horrible thing for America is that big tech, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest are going to get away completely with destroying free speech for half this country. And we're now going to be 100% under big tech's control. And everything we say or think now will have to be approved by Google and Facebook and Twitter, and it's all going to get worse. And with their monopoly power, they're more like public utilities who should not be allowed to censor and discriminate against anyone. But they do brazenly. Imagine other public utilities discriminating against citizens. What if the power company decided to cut off your power because you are a Trump supporter? Don't mind me, just to teach you a lesson, make an example out of you to scare others. No public utility should be able to discriminate like Google and Facebook and Twitter. Big tech and the corrupt mainstream news media have total control of America now. If Republicans are truly out of power, there will be no way to break up those monopolies and restore our freedom of speech and thought. I mean, think about Twitter censoring the President of the United States, who was tweeting the legitimate New York Post story of Tom Bobulinski's credible testimony against Hunter and Joe Biden in order to defend his personal honor. But guess what, folks? The Republicans let us down like they always do. And that's the refreshing thing about Trump, I guess. He fights hard, he wants to pay back people who wrong him. There's something so honest and gratifying about all of that. Republicans like Mittens Romney, a.k.a. Pierre Delecto, they never fight hard. They're the first to buckle because they want to be liked by the corrupt news media. But Trump called out the media over and over. That's why they hate him. That and the fact that he has been effective in spite of the constant attempts to destroy him. Trump's not the enemy of democracy, but the mainstream news media is. They and big tech hide information Americans need because it helps the Democratic Party. Information like the Bobulinski interview. Hunter Biden's laptop reports, the New York Post, all show clearly Joe Biden's illegal influence peddling and the money that he and Hunter made with the Chinese communists, the Ukrainians, and others. Well, hell, my wife's Ukrainian. How come she didn't get any of that damn money? We could use it. Well, she wasn't born there. She was born in Germany, but Ukrainian heritage. Now you got Sidney Powell, former federal prosecutor, current lawyer for Lieutenant Flynn. Said on November the 8th that top Democrats are using the aforementioned Dominion voting systems to commit election fraud. And she said they have invested in it for their own reasons and are using it to commit this fraud to steal votes. And I think they've even stolen it from other Democrats in their own party who should be outraged about this as well. She said Dominion has about a third of the voting machine market with customers in 28 states and Puerto Rico, including all the battleground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Fresh air. Well, that's my excuse. November 8th, in a Fox News interview with Maria Bartiromo, Sidney Powell made this statement. If there's been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election from we the people of the United States of America, to delegitimize and destroy votes for Trump, to manufacture votes for Biden. They've done it in every way imaginable, from having dead people vote in record numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that exist only for voting for Biden. She went on to say that we've identified over 450,000 ballots that miraculously only have a vote for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate. If you look at Florida, where things were done right, you can see that that is how the rest of the country should have gone. But they also used an algorithm to calculate the number of votes that they would need to flip. And they used computers to flip those votes from Trump to Biden, from other Republican candidates to their competitors as well. My friend's statistical analysis shows that Biden votes far exceeded Democrat down-ticket votes, making those votes statistically improbable. In an article by Pam Geller entitled More Proof of Fraud, Republicans won 28 or 29 most competitive House seats. They added three state legislatures, did not lose a single House race. But Joe Biden won the presidency? Bartiromo interviewed Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who told her that Republicans won 28 or 29 of the most competitive U.S. House seats. Republicans did not lose one single House seat. And the Republicans also took control of three more state legislatures. The mathematical evidence of voter fraud, my friends, is overwhelming. It is convincingly laid out in an article with information from MilOps. That's Military Ops, a Defense Department site approved for discussion among military officers and military retirees with appropriate military specialties. That it goes into great detail with charts and graphs and explanations of things like Benford's Law. The article was titled Overall Multi-State Data, Mathematical Evidence, and it was posted by Pamela Geller on November the 8th. And notes from the Gateway Pundit, which stated voter fraud in Wisconsin, massive dump of over 100,000 ballots for Biden, all of a sudden appeared overnight. It also states, under heading Mathematical Evidence, subheading Statistical Impossibilities in Wisconsin and Michigan on November the 5th, 2 days later, 2 days after the election. And it stated, in both Michigan and Wisconsin, several vote dumps occurred at approximately 4 a.m. on Wednesday morning, which showed that Biden received almost 100% of the votes. Trump was leading by hundreds of thousands of votes in both states as America went to sleep. And turnout in the state of Wisconsin seems to be particularly impossible. The usual explanation of the corrupt media is that most of the mail-in ballots came from Biden supporters, but that's can't be true. That's an impossibility. Because all of this is particularly concerning considering Republicans led in mail-in ballots requested and mail-in and in-person ballots returned leading up to and at the start of Election Day. And according to NBC News on Election Day, before the polls opened in Michigan, Republicans led 41-39% in mail-in ballots requested. And Republicans also led 42-39% with mail-in and in-person ballots returned. And so in Wisconsin on Election Day, before the polls opened, Republicans led mail-in ballots requested 43-35% and mail-in and early in-person ballots returned 43-35% as well. Almost all the ballots found while most of the country was sleeping after the officials stated they would stop counting were for Joe Biden. Under subheading, former politicians of blue cities chime in. Rod Blagojevich, you remember him, the former corrupt governor of Illinois who was sentenced to 14 years in prison but pardoned by President Trump several years into his sentence, said there's no question that what went on in Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit, and other cities. He stated, in big cities where they control the political apparatus and they control the apparatus that counts the votes, and they control the polling places and the ones who count the votes, it's widespread and it's deep. In How They Stole Election, the Election by Vasco Kollmeyer, dated November the 9th, he stated, it was a combination of vote harvesting and fraud that Biden has come out on top. In some areas in Wisconsin, turnout from Biden was nearly 90%. One analyst pointed out that this is 5.5 standard deviations above the average. Such a thing is not practically possible, given that the odds against it are 1 in 52,910,052. It's like flipping a coin and getting heads 25 times in a row. I've stated my opinions about Trump. There's things he's done that I applaud the man for. But he's a typical New Yorker. And he won't shut up. He won't stay off of Twitter. But on top of all of that, it is now obvious that this election has been stolen by massive fraud and corruption by the same people who have given us two coups d'etat in the past 4 years, and it cannot stand. A Republican fundraiser, Bill White, has put together a reward of $1 million for evidence of voter fraud. And he's already raised over $14 million. White is based in Atlanta. For the Trump campaign, had dispatched dozens of lawyers for a narrowly contested vote count led by Republican Representative Doug Collins. And he said that Atlanta's Trump campaign and GOP headquarters have received literally hundreds of calls reporting fraud since the election. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick will also pay up to $1 million to incentivize, encourage, and reward people to come forward and report voter fraud. People who have evidence that leads to an arrest and conviction will get a guaranteed payout of $25,000. And you know what? There is a phone number you can call to report election fraud. You can call Trump's hotline, toll free at 888-503-3526. That's 888-503-3526. You can also go online. And I'm providing a link on this post where you can report that. We've got to have faith in the integrity of our elections, or we do not have a country, my friends. All of these charges must be thoroughly investigated. The problem is we're now combating the courts. And the courts are basically saying, piss on you, Trump, piss on you, Republicans. It's my way or the highway. The only thing will satisfy me is a manual vote count in Philly, Detroit, Milwaukee, Atlanta, and other places where fraud is highly suspected. The Republicans and Democrats together need to look at every single ballot that was cast or cast and count only clearly legitimate ballots. And if it's done and Trump loses, then I will accept that we lost a fair fight, and I will continue to have faith in our wonderful country. But if fraud is proven, then people need to go to jail, to jail, to jail. Something on the scope of what is obviously happening now is so destabilizing for this nation that it should be considered treasonous and people should be executed for it. And that should be the law. This kind of corruption cannot stand. The gauntlet is down. The good guys have got to win this fight. Because who the hell wants to live in a banana republic where your elections could be stolen by the lowest scum of society? Oh, boy. These Democrats have learned from the communists. Six ways to Sunday, my friends. It angers me greatly what they have done to this, our once magnificent country. Failure to root out this fraud and hold people accountable is not an option. Gene Kaiser, I thank my friends at Dixie Heritage for sending this to me. I knew it had to be published. Yeah, this is the final piece that I will publish on this garbage. I'm fed up with it all. Aren't you? Because after a while, it's just wasting time. I think it is. I don't see how this nation is going to come out of this. But, and I don't remember the specifics, but earlier in the program, I shared with you the law. The law states there is no presidential transition until Congress certifies the election. I don't have my phone up next to me. I keep hearing it bing, so I don't know who's texting me. It could be Doc, could be Dr. E. I'm not sure. I read something recently that allegedly, as relates to the so-called Electoral College, the number of electoral voters that actually are the ones that will make the final decision happen to be Republican. The Republicans outfit the Democrats in this particular issue. The problem is, I've not had an opportunity to delve more deeply into this. And it's important. I will see if and what I can find on that issue over the weekend. If any of you listeners out there have access or the knowledge about it, send me a link. Send it to Jeff@federalobserver.com. Anything you can do to help fit this, we will see what comes up by Monday. That headline I shared with you, the law is that there's no presidential transition until Congress certifies the election, written by Daniel Greenfield. The headline is posted up on Federal Observer in that little section. I strongly urge you to go read it. It may trigger something in your mind. Send me everything we possibly can on this issue, because this is not good. It's interesting, when Greenfield wrote this article, it was on November 17th, just a couple days ago, and he said, his one statement was, it's still early in November. The media conveniently forgot the time its party blocked the presidential transition for over 4 weeks, not just through November, but into December. That, of course, goes back into the Bush and Al Gore garbage. What a nightmare. In my lifetime, in our lifetime, my friends, it has gotten dirtier and dirtier. And unfortunately, because of the calendar, and today is the 20th of November, in two more days, we will remember the 22nd of November, 1963. And although I had massive respect for Reagan as a human being, in my personal estimation, and my family were all Republicans, and it always voted that way until my mother got old and senile, started voting Democrat. And then in our last conversation admitted she strongly regretted it. But her boys, my younger brothers, different father, same blood though, just kept beating on her and beating on her and finally embarrassed her into voting in that way direction for Obama. That was not the reason my mother and I stopped talking. There were many other reasons for it, but Sunday will be the anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy, who, in my personal estimation, was the last president this country ever had. Since that point in time, it's been a joke. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to disagree. But each and every one of us here tonight, talking with each other, listening to what I have to say, we all know exactly where we were on that day. Me, I was a sophomore in high school at lunch. And we had a little concrete square. Theoretically, it was a parking area, but nobody was ever allowed to park there. Except there was a car parked out there. And there must have been 200 kids standing around that park, that parked car. In tears, their jaws dropped to the floor. At that point in time, it was heard that John F. Kennedy had been shot. It wasn't that much longer during class that we found he had died. I can still see Andre Kojak's face. Happened to be in gym class, in the locker room, getting ready to go into gym when the word came out. First time in those years, our television was on, I say morning, noon, and night. TV shut off by midnight back in those days. Black and white. The TV was on the entire weekend. Unbelievable. If I had better planned this program today, back in 1995, I wrote a piece entitled The Day America Died. There was a time I had a written copy of that. I've long since lost it. But I still have the audio clip of my very first presentation, which was done in 1995 on the air. And I've played it many times. Profound. Look what's happened to our life. Look what's happened to our country. It's sad. And these socialist bastards that have been allowed to take office in D.C. and in cities and states around this country, it's appalling to me. What's happened to our education system that is allowed to teach and educate and raise our children to think this way? It's so unbelievably sad. And now we face all that we've talked about in this past hour. We can hope, we can pray for the right outcome. Don't tell me God's in charge. We should have been in charge. With his guidance, of course. But we have sat back and done nothing. Oh, we cast our votes, so we think that we did our job, did our duty. No. We haven't even begun to do our duty, people. And I don't know if we've got the time to do it. I'm going to bail out of here a few moments early. I'm going to let Michael bring some music up. And I want you to give some serious thought to all of this. Pray for this nation. Pray for your families. Pray for our future if we are meant to have one. Have a great weekend. We'll, Lord willing, see you on Monday.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.